Hello, my friends. D.L. Anderson here. Welcome back to Transformation by Truth podcast as we share the truth concerning these last days and what you must do to save yourself from the violent times that are just ahead. Today's podcast is a word of truth accounting of the end times. The end is coming. The end is near. Today's podcast is entitled End Times 273, A Summary of the People of the Ceiling, Part 3. The podcast's objectives are: analyze the parallel existence of the former nation and the renewed nation, analyze the transition between the former and the renewed nation, reveal how Yahushua Messiah came to save the law, and analyze the conservative viewpoint of the law. This lesson contains timelines and other visuals. Therefore, if you are listening to the podcast, I advise you to watch the video version on our website or YouTube, or request a PDF of the lesson so you can add the visual effect. A parallel existence. Now, in the most recent podcast, we began analyzing the evolution of the nation of Israel, utilizing the graphic to the right. And here we have the graphic and a bigger view of the evolution of the nation of Israel, starting with the former nation, moving on to its spiritual death, and then into the renewed nation of Israel. Now, we ended the most recent podcast analyzing the dispensation of promise, that is, the dispensation of the nation of Israel, which preceded the law of Moses. This dispensation began with the promise Yahuwah made to Abraham. As you learned last week, this promise is the foundation of the nation of Israel. See Genesis 12, 1 through 4, 35, 1 through 15, and 46, 1 through 7. From now, I would like to analyze another major revelation from this graphic. Specifically, I would like to analyze the temporary coexistence of the renewed nation of Israel and the former nation of Israel. Here we are considering a parallel existence which began with the spiritual death of the former nation, and it continued until its physical death nearly 40 years after. And here you see on the chart the spiritual death of the former nation of Israel. Now, the spiritual death of the former nation transpired when their leaders orchestrated the death of Yahushua Messiah. Then, like fools, they went a fatal step forward and owned his death. Here again, this led to their spiritual death, which was soon followed by the birth of the renewed nation of Israel during the Feast of Shavuot, that is, the day of Pentecost. Now, this truth reveals two key matters concerning the renewed nation, which we have touched on, but I would like to restate for emphasis. One, the renewed nation is spiritual in nature, for its origin is traced to the outpouring of the set-apart spirit. And two, all who are within this nation are the seed of Abraham and heirs of the promise. Now, this shouldn't be too hard to gather, and I don't suppose many will consider it a revelation. Albeit, the inverse of this line is not often considered, and thus, I will offer it as an interest point. The former nation who did not make the transition into the renewed nation never received the set-apart spirits of Elohim. For this cause, they were not the seed of Abraham according to the promise, and they went from being under the law to being under a curse. This is clear to see by the graphic to the right, to wit, the spiritual death of the former nation marks the beginning of the renewed nation, which is founded on the Torah of perfection. And as we have already proven, the law of Moses evolved into the Torah of perfection. To wit, the Torah of perfection is the fulfillment of the law. Therefore, the former nation not only died a spiritual death in 33 CE. Alas, they lost the entirety of their belief system. The law, which is the foundation of the kingdom, had abandoned them. And do not think it strange, my friends, for lo, this abandonment had been prophesied. Not only this, but the men and women of the former nation were warned by their contemporaries. That's right, Yochanan the Immerser and Yahushua Messiah both warned them this would happen. And what did they do? They treated them like they treated many of their prophets. They killed them. Matthew 3, 1 through 10 reads, "And in those days, Yochanan the Immerser came proclaiming in the wilderness of Yehuda and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has come near.' And seeing many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his immersion, he said to them, 'Brood of Adams, who has warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Bring, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as father." For I say to you that Elohim is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And the axe is already laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, then, which does not bear good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire." Matthew 21, 42-44. Yahushua said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was from Yahuwah, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Because of this, I say to you, the kingdom of Elohim shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits of it. And he who falls on this stone shall be broken, but on whomever it falls, he shall be pulverized." 40 years to make the transition. Now, Yochanan the Immerser and Yahushua Messiah made it clear to the former nation that Elohim was preparing to take the kingdom from them, and he would give it to the renewed nation of Israel, vis-a-vis the spiritual seed of Abraham. This is why they were both proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's because the transition of the kingdom from the former nation to the renewed nation was about to transpire. Not only this, but this transition, like the season of sealing we are currently in, would not last forever. Quite the contrary, access to the kingdom within the renewed nation would only be available for a limited amount of time, 40 years to be precise. You can see this by the timeline on the right. 70 CE marks the year of the siege of Jerusalem. That is, the climax and the midpoint of a seven-year war between the former nation and Rome. Although this war ended in 73 CE, i.e., 40 years after the spiritual death of the former nation, the turning point was the siege, which occurred 3 years earlier in the middle of the prophetic week, if I may forecast a revelation. For that reason, everyone within the former nation had a little less than 40 years to make the transition into the renewed nation through belief in Yahushua Messiah and adherence to his Torah of perfection. For as you can clearly see, upon their spiritual death, the former nation was heading toward a cliff. They became a runaway train headed toward a wall of destruction and death. Alas, this is what became of all who did not get off the train before its final stop. And Yahushua Messiah told them it would be this way if they did not repent, as did the other prophets. But look, because they would not fall upon the rock, that is Yahushua Messiah, the rock fell upon them. And as he testified, the former nation was not only destroyed, they were pulverized. He came to save the law. Now, there are many more things I could say concerning the evolution of the nation of Israel, but I must continue in this summary. Lo, there is much more I must recap from the leading podcast in this phase, and the time is at hand. To start, we analyzed how there are precepts within the law of Moses that we are to guard in these last days. As these precepts were not fulfilled, i.e., upgraded by Yahushua Messiah, they were engrafted into the Torah of perfection. This is very crucial to understand, because there is indeed a fine spiritual line we must walk with regards to this topic. For the enemy has led many within the extended nation to take extreme positions on this wise. To wit, he has forced them to two opposing poles. The first pole is what I will call the conservative pole, or the far right. Here you will find many so-called believers suggesting that the entirety of the law has been made void. Understanding how we are no longer under the law, these individuals have thrown out the law altogether. The fact that we are no longer under the law is true. However, what these so-called believers are missing is the fact that the law is the foundation of the Torah of Yahushua Messiah, for the old covenant was never done away with. My dear friends, the old covenant was renewed. Jeremiah 31:31-33 reads, "See, the days are coming, declares Yahuwah, when I shall make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda, not like the covenant I made with their fathers, in the day when I strengthened their hand to bring them out of the land of Mitzrayim, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, declares Yahuwah. For this is the covenant I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, declares Yahuwah. I shall put my Torah in their inward parts and write it on their hearts, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people." Now, for additional reading on the renewed covenant, I would advise you to also read Ezekiel 37:15-28, Matthew 26:28, Mark 14:24, Luke 22:20, 1 Corinthians 11:25, 2 Corinthians 3:6, and Hebrews 8:6 through 8 and 9:15. Now, the key to understanding the evolution of the law lies in the argument of a new covenant versus a renewed covenant. Unfortunately, the KJV Bible inaccurately uses the phrase new covenant, which leads many to believe the law of Moses and the Torah of Yahushua Messiah are two separate belief systems with little to no association. The premise here is quite simply rational, for even the scriptures testify that what is old will fade away forever. And in the case of the law of Moses, Shaul testified during the parallel existence of the nation that the law was soon to disappear. Hebrews 8, 6-13, but now he has obtained a more excellent service, inasmuch as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was constituted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he says, "See, the days are coming, says Yahuwah, when I shall conclude with the house of Israel and with the house of Yahuwah, a renewed covenant." By saying renewed, he has made the first old. Now, what becomes old in growing age is near disappearing. No doubt, this is the message the conservative believers have gotten right. Fast forward almost 2,000 years, and the law of Moses has disappeared. It is not being observed anywhere on the earth. Neither should it be, for it is obsolete. Notwithstanding, these conservatives do err, for the law of Moses didn't just disappear. As we have proven in prior podcasts, the law of Moses was realized and actualized by Yahushua Messiah. Here is how. By his fulfillment of the law of Moses, Yahushua Messiah upgraded the law by the Spirit of Elohim. And then he made the law the foundation of his Torah. This is why he made it clear to the former nation that he did not come to destroy the law. Like all of us who have been called, he came to save the law. My dear friends, Yahushua Messiah came to preserve the law. He came to validate the law and to establish it again as the foundation of his Torah of perfection. Now, this is difficult to appreciate if you are looking at the law of Moses and the Torah of Yahushua Messiah as two separate doctrines, to wit, one being old, one being new. This is why the word of truth is declaring, "Study with all diligence to present yourselves approved to Elohim, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." See 2 Timothy 2:15. In doing so, you will not only come to see how the word new is not only used erroneously in this matter, it is also an error in other matters as well. And we have discussed these in prior podcasts. For example, the renewed heaven and the renewed earth versus the new heaven and the new earth. Here again, I don't ask you to take my word for it. You can do the same research I did, if you're not convinced this is a true interpretation of this matter. If you do, you will find the scriptures revealing that the old covenant is an everlasting covenant. Psalm 105, 6 through 10 reads, "O seed of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is Yahuwah, our Elohim. His right rulings are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham and his oath to Yitzhak, and established it to Jacob for a law to Israel, an everlasting covenant. Isaiah 24:5. For the earth has been defiled under its inhabitants, because they have transgressed the Torah, changed the law, broken the everlasting covenant. Now, these scriptures and many others confirm that the old covenant, i.e. the law, is an everlasting covenant. This reality begs the question, how can the law be an everlasting covenant and yet not exist as an independent belief system? The answer is sure. The law, as the old covenant, had to be renewed. This is the only way the law, which is an everlasting covenant, can subsist. A premise which supports everything I have taught concerning the law of Moses and the Torah of perfection. Thus, we conclude, there are not two everlasting covenants. There is not an old covenant and a new covenant. Rather, there is one everlasting covenant, which was formerly known as the law of Moses, and in these last days has evolved into the Torah of perfection. The fine line that many did not see. Now, as I said before, this analysis represents the conservative position concerning the persistence of the law, a position held by many who have come out of Christianity. I know because I was raised in the church circuit, and I once held these beliefs. This is why I understand the position of those who are holding on to them. For many, it's not a wholesale rejection of the law. I know because most Christian believers, by nature, adhere to much of the law. Moreover, the facets of the law they are not adhering to were fulfilled by Yahushua Messiah, and thus they should not be adhering to them. The problem lies with the small fraction of the law that was not upgraded by Yahushua Messiah. That is, the law we are to keep. If you recall, I addressed this thoroughly over the course of 3 podcasts. Believe me, this is a crucial aspect of those who are being sealed in these last days. We are guarding all the commands that Yahuwah Elohim desires us to guard in these last days, and yet we are not under the law. This is the fine line that many did not see during the restoration of the nation of Israel. But Elohim, in his great love toward us, has given us one final opportunity, one last chance to get it right, to make sure we have fulfilled the restoration message. In saying this, I would restate a key point concerning this matter, vis-a-vis, not everyone is going to find that fine line. Not everyone will see the truth concerning the law we are to keep in these last days. Now, the truth is, there are countless reasons why, and the Father has not led us to concern ourselves with any of them. Albeit, He is calling me to remind you of a very crucial matter concerning the truth. Namely this, the only way to be led into truth such that you can progress the Father's will in your life is to accept the truth He has already revealed to you. Here lies the problem. Vis-a-vis, many have not accepted the truth Yahuwah has revealed to them. Many have not obeyed the word He has shared. And this, my friends, is precisely why they cannot see the truth the Father has revealed to you and to me. Now look, truth is like a journey, and the Spirit is like a train. At the beginning of the journey, the train is full of passengers, like the parable of the dragnet. You have all kinds of people on board with terrific excitement, the expectation of good times, and what seems like the best of days. But alas, fast forward a few frames, and you will find many of the passengers have fallen off the train. Fast forward a few more frames, and you will see more than half of the spiritual commuters are gone, and we will never see them again. I think you have a good idea how this story ends. The vast majority of the men and women who started this journey of the truth will never finish it. Like the rich young ruler, they all had a breaking point, and thus it was just a matter of time. Here again, this is why the Father has called me to be a watchman as opposed to some other office. I'm not trying to convince anyone to do anything that is not in their heart to do. I'm not here to make anyone see the truth if they don't have eyes to see. Lo, my commission is simply to warn those who have been called. If you have been called and you are not guarding the Shabbat or any of the other principles of the law that were engrafted into the Torah of perfection, then now is the time to repent, for very soon it will be too late. Now, I would be remiss if I did not speak the truth concerning this broader topic concerning the people of the ceiling. And as it is a key matter, I will offer it as a point of interest. Although it represents a pull outside of the Father's will, the conservative position concerning the law is a far better position than the liberal position. That is to say, those who are on the right side of this argument and need to adopt a small fraction of the law that was not upgraded are far better off than those who are on the left. For those who are on the left side of this argument are those who have gone backwards in their beliefs while placing themselves under the law when there is no law for them to be under. My dear friends, this is a very dangerous position to be in, and yet many are in it. And so I will speak to it in the spirit of the watchman and provide a warning against these actions. After which, we will conclude our summary of the people and the places of the ceiling, and we will move on to fulfilling the remaining five guidelines on this season to prove it is not only an authentic prophetic event, but it is also the season we are currently in. Now, here is the final word. To see the truth and what shall befall, you must be true and accept it all. Here lies the problem. From the beginning, men and women have only accepted the truth in part. That is, the part they don't mind adhering to. Alas, these rebels will wrestle with the truth they don't want to follow, and they will fabricate lies and doctrines of devils to deceive themselves into believing they will somehow enter into everlasting life. My advice to you is simple. Don't be like them, for they will find when we are carried into the next seasons, they will be left behind. We will all live, and they will all die. Now, here is what's next. We completed today's podcast, End Times 273, a summary of the people and places of the ceiling, part 3. And the next podcast is entitled End Times 274, a summary of the people and places of the ceiling, part 4. I will post this podcast on Monday, May 6, 2024. Until then, my friends, continue to be led by the Spirit of Elohim. Continue to watch. Continue to pray. Continue in fasting. And most of all, continue to be focused, for the end is coming. The end is near.